Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Romans, from that great chapter, Romans chapter 8, and I will be reading verses 18 through 25, but not now. I'm going to read it as part of the message, but you can turn to it in your pew Bibles. It's on page number 1757. Also pull out a yellow bulletin insert that has some sermon notes and an outline to follow along. But before I read this passage, I want to talk about why we are focusing on this text. 2 weeks ago, I began a message with chaos happens. Why do things in the world happen? As we were all reeling with the response to the shooting out in Las Vegas. The Time magazine cover that week featured the places, Las Vegas, Orlando, Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, and on and on. Chaos still is happening. Jesus says, don't be surprised by this. Don't be surprised when there is suffering in the world and in your life. In this world, you will have tribulation, Jesus said. Why? We ask. Invariably, we come to the question why, and the combination of sermons 2 weeks ago and today, I want to fill in some of those blanks. For all of us go through painful things. As I look around our congregation, I know situations in which you and many of us struggle. Some have sat through a child's funeral or a grandchild's. Some have watched a spouse slowly lose a battle against cancer, racked with pain. Some of us here have endured unjust treatment at work, even lost jobs. The bottom line given is economics. It's not personal. It's just economy. Some sitting here today are here with the ever-present reminder of chronic physical or emotional pain. Recently, I had a conversation with a mom whose son was self-destructing on drugs. Not too long ago, I had a conversation with a wife whose abusive husband was drowning in his bottle of alcohol. Why? Why does this happen? Why does God allow this to happen? This question, why, is never out of season. To review and recap from 2 weeks ago, talked about the reasons versus the results of pain in our lives. My thesis then and now is that there is a reason for your suffering, but it may not be as simple and as satisfying as you like. My desire is to bring hope and encouragement, not to add to the weight of sadness and despair as we focus in on that. My design is to avoid superficial platitudes, cliches, but to offer substantial biblical truths that bring real comfort, strengthen our faith, and provide true freedom, the freedom that sets us free by His truth. 2 weeks ago, we considered some possible or theoretical reasons for suffering. It's possible that when that catastrophe, when that outrageous event took place in Las Vegas, where so many lost their lives and so many were injured in that mass shooting, perhaps God just didn't know. Perhaps His focus and attention was somewhere else in the Middle East or wherever. Perhaps God just didn't know. But of course, We know that that answer is wrong. That's not possible because God knows all things. According to Psalm 139, He knows when we come in and we go out, when we lay down, when we rise up. He knows even the number of hairs on our head. He knows when a sparrow falls in the field. God knows. So that's not the answer. But perhaps if God knew what was happening or going to happen in Las Vegas, perhaps, possibly, theoretically, God just couldn't do anything about it. Well, theoretically, no. Wrong. That's not the answer. We know that God is the Lord Almighty, all-powerful, able to do anything and everything. There is nothing impossible for God. Those who wait on Him shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings like eagles, walk and run and not be weary. Well, if perhaps theoretically God knew and could do something about it, maybe He just didn't care enough to take action, to do something. There's lots of things that people know about but are indifferent about. But certainly not God. The Lord is our good shepherd. He cares for every care that you and I have. Romans 8, in this passage, it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. God's love is so everlasting, unconditional, incomprehensible, really, for every single one of us. That is surely not the answer either. Today I want to look at some biblical answers that we can draw from the Scripture that can be reasons, biblical reasons, for the struggles, the challenges, the suffering in our lives. Let me just say at the outset, never assume, and surely never say to somebody, you're going through this because you're not a good enough Christian. Right? If I ever hear anybody saying that, I'm going to have to smack them. No, just kidding. No. I do hear people, not from this congregation, people say things like, well, God didn't answer your prayer because you didn't have enough faith. What? That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you have the faith, even the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. And don't assume or ever tell anybody that you're going through this because God is punishing you for this sin. Okay? We'll talk about that, but don't assume you can interpret the situation like that. And don't ever say to somebody, well, it's just God's will. Don't ever assume that you can know the secret ways of the Lord, the mysterious ways. It's not that simple. It's not always that simple. So let's consider what the Bible says, some reasons why we go through the tribulations and trials of this life. From the perspective of human sin, the perspective of human sin in general, and from the perspective of our personal sin specifically, sometimes suffering in our lives is due to the sin in our lives. Our sin, by the way, is never God's will. Don't blame God for the consequences of the bad choices and sins you make. The inevitable consequences of disobedience are written into the fabric of God's creation, His moral law, His holy, just law is written into the fabric of creation. And God, being holy, must judge sin. When we rebel and break God's holy laws, yes, we are guilty. And we are held accountable. we more often than not experience God's mercy. Let me say that again. Most often we experience God's mercy and forgiveness is guaranteed when we ask. Oftentimes, judgment and accountability is deferred. There is a day of accountability. There is a judgment day in which we will all have to stand and answer. But for those who are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. We have pardon and mercy by God's mercy. But there will be a reckoning. And even when absolved and forgiven of guilt, sometimes, not the penalty of guilt, but the consequences of our sin and decisions are still experienced. God has written into His creation certain physical laws that need to be obeyed, like the law of gravity or the law of inertia, right? Don't be surprised if you encounter pain if you choose to jump off a high building, right? It's because God's law is such that you fall because of gravity. Don't think that just because you ask for forgiveness on the way down, you're going to escape the consequences of that, right? Are you following me? Okay. The law of inertia. If you're driving in a car and you hit a wall, right? Things that are in motion remain in motion until they're acted on by an outside force. And if the car stops, you won't necessarily. Well, if you have a seatbelt. Okay. The same way, if you break God's moral laws that He has written into creation, there can be consequences. Sometimes God's mercy lets us off the hook. But guilt feelings, oftentimes mental illness, physical stress, social chaos, family dysfunction, are a result of personal sin. All right, let's get real. This week, every time I turn on the TV, Harvey Weinstein, right? Allegedly accused of all sorts of sexual harassment, misconduct, rape, and so forth. More than 40 women have come forward. Now suppose Harvey Weinstein repents, literally repents, and asks forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He will be forgiven according to God's promises by God's grace, but he will still face the consequences of going to jail and his wife leaving him and his reputation being destroyed, right? There's a difference between being forgiven by the grace of God and still suffering the consequences. Even if someone is never caught or convicted, there are still consequences for breaking God's moral law built into His creation. So our personal sin has a consequence. Or another one's sin can be the cause of our suffering. If it's not ours, it might be someone else's sin. Suffering can be caused by the indirect consequences of another person's rebellion and sin. For example, the innocent victims of a car accident caused by a drunk driver. Or a wife or child whose life is tormented by rage and abuse from an alcoholic spouse or parent. Domestic violence. The sin of another can cause pain in your life. And sometimes the only reason for our pain and suffering is because someone else's sin and brokenness has impacted your life. And when it comes to the perspective of human sin, original sin has a lot to do with it. a lot of the basic reason why there is suffering and pain in the world, because of the origin of sin, or the original sin. Adam and Eve in the garden sinned. All of the human race fell. We talk about the fall. Before that, there was no sickness, no disease, no cancer, no disaster. There was no death. But human sin broke things. And all creation groans under the curse of the fall. Romans 8, 18 through 25, our text. Listen as I read it. Paul says a wonderful thing here. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So marvelous and precious is the glory of our eternal hope, as great and profound as our pain is in this life. It's not even on the chart, not even to be measured as comparing to that great joy and happiness. And he says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation is subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has, but we hope for what we do not yet have, but wait for it patiently. Always, when there is pain, struggle, challenge in our lives, we're reminded that there's coming a better time and a better place. The result is that all kinds of bad things happen in this world. Chaos happens to good people. And when things appear meaningless or senseless, I've experienced all kinds of this as pastor with folks in their lives. There's a great book by author and Christian teacher Joseph Bailey entitled A View from a Hearse. Joseph Bailey and his wife lost 3 children, one at 18 days after surgery, another at 5 years from leukemia, and a third child at the age of 18 years in a sledding accident, plus hemophilia. Can't imagine the pain that he went through. And how do you make sense of that? You don't. You don't. That's what makes the book of Ecclesiastes so relevant. If you go back in the Old Testament and read that, you have an emotional resonance with the message of Ecclesiastes. Vanity, vanity, meaningless, meaningless. Everything under the sun, Solomon says. Or like Kerry Livgren of Kansas wrote and sang, all we are is dust in the wind. Sometimes it feels like this life is that way. Here's the key to understanding Ecclesiastes, by the way. Things under the sun appear meaningless, but there is a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. Under God, there's a whole different perspective. And it's very comforting to know that God has us in His hands and He can turn senseless things into purposeful intent. God allows human sin and the consequences of them for now. For now. So from the perspective of human sin and from the perspective of God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. God is indeed in control, and the reasons for our pain could be judgment for sin and vindication of God's righteousness. God is always just and right and holy and has a right to punish sin. Throughout Scripture, God brought judgment on sin, on the whole world, back in the days of Noah, on nations, even Israel, His own people, through godless nations. God brought judgment and sin of cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. Ultimately, all will be held accountable. Sin will be judged for the vindication of God's justice. But, I am very slow to interpret today's events as divine judgment. People say, well, Sin City, Las Vegas, God's judgment. Or Katrina, New Orleans, it's a mess down there. God's, you know what? Every city, every town is filled with sinners and sin. Don't assume that God is particularly singling out. God has every right to judge sin, but most often, as I said, we receive His mercy and wrath is deferred. There are consequences, yes, but generally we don't see His wrath and judgment in this life. And again, Christians are covered by the blood of Christ. Well, another reason from God's sovereignty is pain can be caused by God's discipline on us as disobedient children. God's discipline, reproof and rebuke are actually proof of God's love as we as earthly parents, for the good of our children, give them structure and discipline. So God does. Hebrews chapter 12 is a great text for this. Hebrews 12, 4 through 9. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves and punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline, for God is treating you as sons and daughters. What son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. And how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Discipline can happen. Remedial love, not judgment. For in this life there's no pain without, no pain, no gain, right? God uses. And there's redemptive suffering, pain deliberately entered into on behalf of others. A supreme example of this redemptive suffering is Jesus, the only truly innocent suffering servant. His passion. Passion literally is suffering. And compassion, God has compassion. He suffers along with us. Jesus, Isaiah 53, a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, suffered for us. He died for us. And when we are heartbroken with those whose hearts are breaking that we love, we suffer along with them. Nothing happens to us that God doesn't use. There is no pain in our lives that is useless, not used by God, or meaningless. There's one other perspective. That's the perspective of satanic opposition. Satanic opposition. We live in a war zone. This world is a cosmic battleground. Satan versus Christ. And Christians can be caught in the crossfire. Satan's real enemy is Christ. He can't get at Christ directly, so sometimes he pinches the followers of Jesus, knowing that he hurts when we hurt. Job 1 and 2 is a classic illustration of this contest, this conversation, God and the devil. So we need to do all that we can to stay armed and alert, be well assured that the victory is the Lord's. Well, as you think about the pain in your life, think about all of these options. Pray about, Lord, is there something you want to teach us? Or is this just because I live in a broken, fallen world? The results of suffering, in conclusion, be comforted. Be comforted and encouraged. God is always and absolutely in control. He is the Lord, the King. He rules, He reigns, and He wins in the end. God is never the source or the author of evil, but He allows it. He never delights in our struggles, but He allows it. And the bottom line from our chapter here is God is able to work all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Nothing can separate you and I from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And not only that, we have a responsibility to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted. Look around you and see those in pain. And having experienced some of that yourself, God gives you the heart to love one another and to provide comfort, sympathy, and uphold those in pain, whatever it is. We can be hands and feet from Christ to embrace one another. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for the powerful truths of Your Word. Help us to trust, even as we ask why. Help us to lean on You and look to You. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to get through. Help others as we go along together in Jesus' name. Amen.